He was strapped upright in a chair, so tightly that he could move nothing, not even his head. A sort of pad gripped his head from behind, forcing him to look straight in front of him. For a moment, he was alone. Then the door opened, and O'Brien came in.
"You asked me once," said O'Brien, "what was in room 101. I told you that you knew the answer already. Everyone knows it. The thing that is in room 101 is the worst thing in the world."
The door opened again. A guard came in, carrying something made of wire, a box or basket of some kind. He set it down on the further table.
"The worst thing in the world," said O'Brien, "varies from individual to individual. It may be burial alive, or death by fire, or by drowning, or by impalement, or 50 other deaths. There are cases where it is some quite trivial thing, not even fatal."
He had moved a little to one side so that Winston had a better view of the thing on the table. It was an oblong wire cage with a handle on top for carrying it. Fixed to the front of it was something that looked like a fencing mask with the concave side outwards. Although it was 3 or 4 meters away from him, he could see that the cage was divided lengthways into 2 compartments, and that there was some kind of creature in each. They were rats.
"In your case," said O'Brien, "the worst thing in the world happens to be rats."
At this moment, the meaning of the mask-like attachment in front suddenly sank in.
"You can't do that!" Winston cried out in a high, cracked voice. "You couldn't! It's impossible!"
"Do you remember," said O'Brien, "the moment of panic that used to occur in your dreams? There was a wall of blackness in front of you. A roaring sound in your ears. There was something terrible on the other side of the wall. You knew that you knew what it was, but you dared not drag it out into the open. It was the rats that were on the other side of the wall."
"O'Brien," said Winston, making an effort to control his voice, you know this is not necessary. What is it that you want me to do?"
O'Brien made no direct answer. When he spoke, it was in the schoolmasterish manner that he sometimes affected.
"By itself," he said, "pain is not always enough. There are occasions when a human being will stand out against pain, even to the point of death. But for everyone, there is something unendurable. Courage and cowardice are not involved. If you are falling from a height, it is not cowardly to clutch at a rope. If you have come up from deep water, it is not cowardly to fill your lungs with air. It is merely an instinct which cannot be destroyed. It is the same with rats. For you, they are unendurable. They are a form of pressure that you cannot withstand, even if you wish to. You will do what is required of you."
"But what is it? What is it? How can I do it if I don't know what it is?"